13 minute for 9. Now, the rise of work from home as a result of COVID-19 has seen an increase in the use of productivity software by employers, informally known as Tattleware. Now, these tools enable managers to monitor and time track their employees' activities while working remotely, and it can range from tracking emails and calls to location monitoring, even subtle tracking like keystrokes and eyeballs and whether certain apps are standing idle for too long. My word. Joining us in conversation this evening to fill us in on the legalities around this so-called Tattleware is Gillian Lum, Director in the Employment Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Gillian, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Benito, and good evening to your listeners. Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. Just describing that Tattleware, it sounds like the software that many of the university students have been utilizing for their exams, which have been done remotely last year as a result of COVID. But in terms of taking it to the office, Gillian, how prevalent is it at the moment in South Africa with the use of this software?
Benito, at the moment, it's not as prevalent, certainly, as in the U.S. There are studies that have been done to show that the indications were that by the end of last year, there was going to be sort of an 80% increase in use in the U.S. of Tattleware. But in South Africa, they're certainly not that prevalent as there is in the U.S. But I think we may well see an increase in the use of this kind of software, with more and more employees now working from home and employers struggling with potentially how to monitor employees and also to ensure that their performance is still up to standard and that they're not potentially abusing the use of computers that are made available to them from home. So I think we may well see an increase in employers looking to this kind of software to assist in monitoring performance and then also potentially to ensure that there's not abuse of employer systems when working from home and not being under the eye of a manager within a normal office workplace.
Is this type of software only really utilized within, as you mentioned, an employee's tools that are used, for example, if an employee requires various sort of infrastructure to work from home, those are provided by the office, those then are then filled with this type of software. Is it only in those instances, or would there be any other instance for the use of the software?
Yes, so we're essentially looking at where the employer has certain rights. So if they're providing equipment to an employee, so it may extend from the computer that you're providing to an employee or a tool such as a cell phone that's provided for purposes of business.
Yes.
So you're then balancing the employer's rights to monitor the equipment that they're providing specifically to use for the business and obviously an employee's right to privacy. They're living in their homes, working from their homes, and to what extent can an employer then monitor that and infringe potentially on their privacy.
Is there any legislation on this? What does Papaya say around this?
Yes, Benita. So we're sort of balancing then overall the constitutional right to privacy, which obviously is not an absolute right, and there's a balancing of that with the employer's rights as well to conduct its business and ensure that its business interests are protected. So, as you say, Papaya, what certainly everyone's top of mind at the moment is the POPI legislation, which is in effect as of the 1st of July this year. So that legislation obviously allows for an employer to process certain personal information subject to meeting certain conditions. So potentially, depending on what you're doing as the employer and what you're monitoring, it may well give rise to a monitoring and the processing of personal information of an employee. So it'll be critical then for the employer to ensure that it's complying with the legislation, either through getting an employee's consent to the processing of the personal information, or they potentially rely upon one of the other conditions to say it's a legitimate business interest and I need to monitor for that purpose.
Yeah.
But it's not only POPI that we need to consider. There's also RICA, which is the Regulation of Interception of Communications and Provision of Communication-Related Information Act, which has been in force since 2005, but it may also play a role here where you are monitoring your communications and certainly indirect communications of employees when they use your computer systems, where you also then potentially have to have their consent or try and rely upon one of the other exceptions in the legislation if you don't have employee consent.
So there's quite a bit for employees to consider when trying to formulate some form of remote working performance management, if I can term it that way, quite a bit on the legal side to consider as well. Should they also consider involving the employees in having their input in how this policy should be should roll out?
Yes, I think that becomes very important, because we've seen certainly where people have implemented this abroad that there have been some sort of negative responses from employees. And if you look at some of the articles that have come out recently where employees have a view that, you know, there's a lack of trust that an employer is showing when they implement these kind of policies, and that potentially it has an impact on employees' morale. So I think it becomes very important to mitigate against that, that their employees are engaged, that there's a, you know, if an employer feels that they need to implement these kind of systems and the software tools, that there's an explanation given to employees as to why they need to do this and what the rationale is, why they want to monitor it and what they're going to be using the information for. Also, in terms of RICA, if you're going to be using this kind of equipment and intercept people's communications like this, there is an obligation on the employer as well to inform employees. So it is critical before you start implementing this to ensure compliance with legislation that you do engage with employees at minimum in telling them that you intend making use of these tools and the reasons why you're going to make use of it. And then for poppy purposes as well, to ensure that you're actually safeguarding it and giving them those insurances that if you're processing their personal information through the use of the tools, that you are ensuring compliance with copy as well.
And if we look at the research, I think South Africa will increasingly be utilizing this more and more, because research consultancy Gartner are estimating that by the end of the year, 80% of companies globally will be using monitoring tools. I mean, that's quite an estimate.
Yes, it's quite a startling figure to think of 80% of employers using this. I mean, I don't know if South Africa going to hit those kind of numbers, but certainly there is an increase and a concern from employers as to, you know, if employee performance isn't to the standard, how do we monitor that? How do we start being able to get a feel for what employees are doing in their homes where we aren't able to monitor them in a normal workplace environment? So. I think we will get employers increasingly looking to it, but I don't think we're necessarily going to hit those kind of numbers in South Africa at this stage.
It's one thing utilizing a phone or a laptop provided by an employee, but can you deny an employer's request to download this kind of software on your own laptop or phone? What do you think there, Gillian?
I think certainly, you know, it's going to be looking at the fact that, as you say, there's someone who is using their own equipment, and an employer asks them to implement or install this software to allow them to monitor, that there may well be scope for an employee in that particular circumstance to say, listen, this is my personal equipment. I'm not willing to install the monitoring equipment for that purpose. I think, though, it does require those, you know, an employee to be somewhat circumspect about doing that, because it could get to a situation where an employer may say, listen, this is my business operational requirement. I need to be able to monitor. I've got good reason to do that. And your refusal potentially results in my no longer being able to employ you because of that business requirement, and you can't fulfill that. So I think each case, as I say, will need to be looked at on its individual facts. But even if it's someone's personal equipment, it may get to a stage where the employer will then say, listen, you know, I'm going to provide you then with a computer provided by the company, and I require this to be installed, and we will be monitoring, because that's our business and operational requirement.
Gillian Lum, Director in the Employment Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmey. Appreciate your time and your insights on this. Gillian, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Benito. My pleasure.